Having arrived, I will call to order the Finance Committee meeting of Monday, February 16th, 2026, and ask staff to please call the roll.
Council President Vindiver?
Here.
Alder Revere?
Here.
Alder Govindarajan? Alder Madison?
Here.
Alder Evers?
Here.
Alder Figueroa Cole?
Here.
Mayor, you have quorum.
Thank you. All right. We have no general public comment. So are there any disclosures or recusals on items on today's agenda from members of the body? Seeing none. And we will move to the consent agenda. I would note that item 21 is a closed session item, so that will be excluded from the consent agenda. And also just note on item 5, the recommendation is to place on file without prejudice. Are there any items that members of the body would like to have excluded from the consent agenda? President Vindiver.
Item 9, please.
Item 9. Alder Madison.
14, mostly just for an overview.
Item 14. Thank you, Alder. Alder Revere.
Thank you, Mayor. Please separate agenda item number 6.
Item 6. Thank you, Alder. Are there any other items that Alders wish to have separated from the consent agenda at this time? All right, seeing none, then just to refresh, we'll be separating items 6, 9, 14, and 21 from the consent agenda. On the consent agenda, President Vindiver, a motion, please.
Move to adopt.
Second.
Moved and seconded to adopt the consent agenda with the recommendations therein, including the recommendation to place item 5 on file without prejudice. Is there any objection to recording a unanimous vote in favor of the consent agenda and those recommendations? Seeing no objection, we'll record those votes. And we will go to item 6, which is Legistar 91610, authorizing a loan of up to $100,000 to Tellurian Incorporated from the Community Facilities Loan Program to help finance leasehold improvements, and authorizing the mayor and clerk to sign an agreement for that purpose. On item 6, President Vindiver, a motion, please.
Move to adopt.
Second.
Moved and seconded to adopt item 6. Alder Revere, you had questions?
Yes, thank you, Mayor. And I was very pleased to see that we have a representative of Tellurian with us this afternoon, Steve Lawrence. So if I could start by asking him questions, please.
I am unmuted.
Very good. Welcome. Thank you for being here. I noticed you weren't able to attend the CDBG committee meeting earlier this month, so I'm very pleased you're here this afternoon. Thanks for being here. My first question to you, Steve, is could you give us an overview of what the current operating plan is for the facility? I'm sure the Alder of the District, Alder Evers, has been in regular communication with your agency and knows what the current status is, but could you just quickly explain what the current plan is for operations for each of the two floors of Jake's Place?
Absolutely. So the bottom floor is essentially an expansion from the Willie Street property that formerly had the case managers who provide comprehensive community services. We also had the 15-bed SRO, which is, as of January of 2026, no longer. So the bottom floor of Jake's Place is an expansion of the case management services, providing, well, previously services up to, I think we were about 98 individuals, and we expect to double that within 2 years. And those services, for those who are not familiar, can be a whole host of things. A lot of times it's just connecting individuals with might be, you know, psychiatry or prescribing, you know, meds, could be skill development, could be a whole host of array of services that are all under the umbrella of the CCS program. So the objective with that first floor was really to expand that services. We were limited by our space on Willie Street. And the idea there is also to bring in potentially, you know, outpatient counselors to expand those services beyond what they currently were from, probably 20 years prior to 2026. The second floor, I'm sure a lot of you have heard this in the news, our original plan with that was to, without any break in service, January 1, to open up a 10-bed withdrawal management or detox service. And I think everyone's probably pretty familiar with how that went down with Dane County. That license is still in process. We started that license in August of 25, maybe September of 25. Still an ongoing process. And it's, you know, certainly a great need for not only the city of Madison, Dane County, and even surrounding counties, but it comes with great risk due to what we've learned in recent months, Dane County in particular, not necessarily wanting to fund the involuntary detox. So we have still intentions to run a 10-bed withdrawal management, but if the funding is not there, we're looking at a few different options, anything from partial hospitalization, even to sober living, to continue that continuum of care for some of our folks who come through our residential program and outpatient, returning them to their former residences. We've found does not lend itself to successful outcomes. So the upstairs, as of now, is still undetermined. Once we obtain the license, that's step one, then we can have further conversations, which we are currently having with a number of the hospitals. I think Dane County's made it pretty clear they're not going to fund involuntary detox, but we have a good medical team on our side who is committed to providing that service. But the, you know, whether that would be something similar to the previous detox location or something else, we are unclear at this point in time.
Thank you for that overview. I appreciate it. So just so we understand that the licensure process that is underway, that's with the Wisconsin Department of Health Services?
Correct. DQA, yeah. Department of Health Services, DQA. Yep. OPRI is involved in that as well. It's a long process, and we've learned it's a lot longer than you would expect even long to be.
Does the City of Madison zoning code require DeLorean to have any other sort of, besides, you know, your more generic building permits and so forth, have a conditional use permit for the activities that you have planned here?
Not to my knowledge. The requirements that we are primarily dealing with are Wisconsin. So we're trying to obtain a license, Chapter 7557. And in contrast, you might have like a CBRF is Chapter 83. So what the Chapter 7557 licensure is, has a lot to do with the services being provided, but there are, it follows 83, Chapter 83 in terms of the building requirements. And this was formerly owned by Journey, this building, and they had a 10-bed, you know, crisis stabilization unit there. Mm-hmm. So the Erica Mueller, who deals with our quality assurance and licensing, to my knowledge, the only thing she's dealing with right now are items that surround Chapter 57, 50, Chapter 57, 57, not, sorry, pardon my not versed in some of the 0.57s and 0.56s, but Everything from, you know, how much foam's in the, you know, between walls, et cetera, et cetera. But a very long process.
Yeah, it sounds like it. I recall, I think it was back last August that you had the big public announcement with the retired Green Bay Packer quarterbacks and so forth.
Correct.
Announcing that you hopefully were opening to your services to the public on West Main Street this fall. Obviously, the timeline has slipped. Do you have any idea at this point when you might know for sure what the second floor use will be, when you might be able to open either floors of the facility?
So the bottom floor is currently in use. There are still items that we would like to make improvements, and part of what the request is for tonight's agenda. So that is in use, and hiring and expansion has occurred. It's really the second floor. Elena Swazak, who runs the community intervention team, which is the first floor, her initial proposal to Lorian, myself, was to have the entire building used for that community intervention team. We, as a company, Tellurian, thought that there was I wouldn't say greater need, but given that the usage prior had the room set up, we felt that utilizing that second floor for the withdrawal management services was still allowed for essentially 100% expansion of our community intervention team. But we felt that the best use would be for a withdrawal management detox center on a 10-bed scale. So first floor is in use, will continue to be in use. It's really that second floor. And the majority of the improvements that we had requested in our application were really related to the first floor. The second floor had prior use with Journey. There were some improvements that were included in our bid process, but the first floor is really where the dollars that we're requesting are going towards.
And you say that your colleagues that are in case management, et cetera, are already utilizing and seeing patients, clients.
Correct.
Today. When did you actually open?
Well, it was really a transfer. So that process happened at the end of 2025. And we have been adding staff beginning in January.
I see. So they immediately were able to move from Willie Street to West Main Street, like around the holidays.
Yeah, there's a short gap in services, but essentially about a 60-day process to move that over. Still some work to be done, but even in the current condition, is an expansion from what we were at with Willie Street.
And the $100,000 you're seeking from us this afternoon, that, as you say, would go in part for first floor improvements, but the staff will be able to work around that construction if they're already there now, apparently.
Yeah, some has already been done. The entire bid I'm looking at now that we got was $230,007. So some of that work has been done. I'm in contact with Richard Renovations quite a bit and discussing, you know, this process. So there is some work on hold, but the flooring and a lot of the work that allows our staff to do their daily activities has been done. In terms of expanding, the other aspect of what Willie Street did and what we want to expand at Main Street is expanding. We have a med psych clinic where people come in on once a week, and we manage their meds with a psychiatrist and a nurse on staff. That we see a lot of need to expand those services. So some of the infrastructure and just the spatial organization of people coming and going that is currently not being utilized on the first floor, that is part of these improvements that we would be making.
Thank you. I remember reading that in your application. And speaking of your application, and by the way, Mayor, thanks for your indulgence. I only have maybe two more questions here of Steve. On page 2 of your application for the CDD funding, You speak about, I'll just read maybe two sentences because I know most wouldn't have the application open in front of them right now. But the second question on the second page, you wrote, or I think you wrote it, I know you signed the application, Steve, that moving office space in a 15-unit SRO away from Williamson Street will also provide the residents and visitors a safer environment. The move will improve the safety and experience for the Willie Street community. And I'm aware that there were outsized amount of police and fire calls for service at your former location at Ingersoll and Willie. Mm-hmm. Is that what you were getting at in response to that question? And can you help us to be at ease, at least those of us that are in the neighborhood, including myself here, that what you wrote there is not something that you anticipate continuing at the new location?
Correct. The 15-bed SRO was a HUD program that we partnered with HUD, I want to say going back to the late 1990s. That model, that single room occupancy, is no longer a model that HUD supports. It was somewhat of a legacy program. And neighbors and then even our own staff and clients who would come to that location, usually it was the nighttime that was the, the overnights. We tried a number of, let me try and condense this. Correct. So there, that population has been moved to different, some with Tellurian, some with not. Some are at the now what is called Enzo, formerly Rethke. Some are in, permanent housing with case management and living, in a single room. But that that 15-bed SRO caused problems for everybody, including ourselves, in managing that, even bringing clients and staff to that location. So what I was getting at was that we were kind of changing the landscape of the Willie Street, not bringing it, not just changing locations, but kind of separating, we really separated out the housing component from the case management and potentially the withdrawal management. But so hoping I'm answering your question, but please let me know if I did not.
No, you absolutely did, Steve. Thank you for that reassurance. That's exactly what my understanding was and how I read your application for this funding. So thank you for confirming that here on the record. My very last question is, as I mentioned, I'm a neighbor of your new facility. Welcome to the neighborhood. I'm excited that you're able to continue these services. I wish we knew what services you'll be able to offer on the second floor. And I know, many of us are very interested in seeing the detoxification services continue, and it's mm-hmm. goes without saying, or it's unfortunate the relationship with Dane County deteriorated. But with all that said, so I'm elected to represent the, among other neighborhoods downtown, the Bassett neighborhood, which is across the street from your new facility at West Main and Proudfit. And at our last monthly Bassett neighborhood meeting, I was asked a series of questions about the facility and so forth. So I just wondered, and I certainly was my intent to invite you or one of your colleagues from Tellurian to attend our next monthly neighborhood association meeting to introduce yourselves. I don't know if you already did the same at the Monona Bay Neighborhood Association or not, or have any communication with that neighborhood association. But those of us in Bassett would like to extend that offer to you. And I'm just wondering, with the schedule that you outlined and the unknowns as of today, would it be appropriate for you to join us at our next monthly meeting in a few weeks? Or do you think we should hold off until you have a better sense of what exactly Tellurian has in mind for that second floor?
In relation to the second floor, in a couple weeks, that might be premature. Although what's going on the first floor, I would certainly be happy to attend. Elena Swazek and Derek Bloom, who are the kind of more the non-financial folks who really came up and brought this idea to fruition on the first floor, I think if that's something you're still interested in, I think that would be wonderful for them to participate in that. And I know they would be interested. The second floor, I would probably have to touch base with Erica Mueller, who she deals with our quality assurance and our licensing to see where we are in that process. You know, that second floor, we are committed to providing this withdrawal management detoxification service. There comes a point in time where if there's just not enough will or desire from a funding standpoint to provide that, we simply cannot. But there are services that may not be quite to the, you know, what that service provides, in particular, whether it's voluntary or involuntary. It's a phenomenal service, but some of the withdrawal management in particular on the voluntary level can still be provided. Even like a partial hospitalization where someone, if they go back to their home environment, the risk of people going back to whatever substance they were involved in, but if they are able to actually have a place to stay while they're maybe attending day treatment or outpatient, longer term stays, I mean, these are some of the things we're talking about, but ideally we really do want to get back to that withdrawal management detoxification service. But in terms of the community meeting, I'm not sure how much we could provide in addition to what I'm saying now, but I can certainly get back to you if I'm incorrect in that tomorrow. But I think having the leadership who's involved in that first floor would still be a positive meeting.
That sounds good. Yeah. Again, thanks very much. Thanks for all your responses this afternoon, and we'll be in touch offline in terms of figuring out the appropriate time to schedule that conversation with the neighborhood. So thanks again, Steve.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Alder. Are there other questions for the registrant? Seeing none, thank you, Steve. And then are there any questions for staff on this item? Seeing none, item six has been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? Seeing no discussion, is there any objection to recording unanimous vote in favor of item six? Seeing no objection, we'll record that vote. And that will take us to item nine, which is Legistar 91615, awarding funds from the Affordable Housing Fund and Federal Home Investment Partnerships Program and CDBG funds and levy funds, all of which are authorized in the 2026 adopted capital and operating budgets, to finance the development of up to 27 affordable owner-occupied housing units and fund 5 homeownership service programs, and authorizing the sale of 10 city-owned vacant residential lots as the recommended outcomes of a competitive request for proposal process conducted by the Community Development Division, and authorizing the mayor and clerk to enter into agreements to implement the approved development and service activities. On item nine, President Bitterer, motion please.
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved and seconded. President Bitterer, you had questions?
I did. My first question is this the first time that we've worked with Ho-Chunk on one of these types of projects?
Director O'Keefe is here.
Hello, Mayor and committee members. Yes, it is, Alder, the first time that that we'll be offering funds to the Ho-Chunk Nation.
I'm just sort of curious about why it's the first time, why we haven't in the past. Is it just because they haven't applied in the past, or?
To my knowledge, it's the first time that they've submitted an application for funding.
Great. And then there was a question from one of my residents about why the fiscal note does not take into account the actual value of the property that the city is being selling for a dollar. Is that a typical thing that we would do?
That is a question I'm not sure that I can answer, Alder.
Is that for perhaps Director Schmidtke?
Yeah,
don't know the situation in this case. This would have been an issue between, I think, CDD or PCED and this particular situation. There have been instances in the past where properties have been transferred for a dollar, and basically that's a contribution towards the project.
Yeah, I just didn't, I didn't know if we typically would put anything in the fiscal note or not.
We typically don't, no.
And then there was a question about the costs of development being higher than market rates. I'm not quite sure if that's something that we can answer in this space.
I'm not sure I'm understanding all of the question that you're asking.
Sorry. Development costs exceed market rates. So the question is why, and how are we vetting these proposals when this person asserts that that is the case? Again, I'm not sure that that is a typical thing that we would do, but that's the question being asked.
Well, we will see and review specific development proposals that will outline those development costs. And that's a budget that we'll participate in with our funds. It's a budget that we'll expect that developers will, you know, will adhere to. And the other, I think the other point that I would make here is that these, I believe all of these development proposals that are being funded will deliver permanent affordability for the units that are to be developed. So that's a consideration as well.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you, Alder. Are there other questions for staff on item 9? Seeing none, it's been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? Seeing no discussion, is there any objection to recording unanimous vote in favor of item 9? Seeing no objection, we'll record that vote on item 9 and move on to item 14, which is Legistar 91811, authorizing a non-competitive purchase of service contract between Thin Line Psychological Services and the City of Madison Fire Department for the provision of mental health wellness checkups and follow-up visits for the Madison Fire Department's firefighter EMTs and firefighter paramedics. On item 14, President Bitiver, a motion please.
Move to adopt.
Second.
Moved and seconded to adopt. Alder Madison, you had questions?
Yeah, I just wanted to get an overview, but really what I'm looking for is how accessible will it be? And, you know, just the availability of the service, like telehealth, phone calls, or just in person, or, you know, on site visits, I guess.
Chief Carbon is here.
You changed the question. There's a really pretty good overview in the non-competitive selection request about their background and their ability, but they're a very small group specialized in public safety, mental health, and psychological services. And really that's the driving force behind them is the experience they have within this sector, you know, working with firefighters, EMTs, police, et cetera. But really to the point of your question is also one of the big driving forces is they are available. They're in Delafield, so they are available for in-person visits, but we do a lot, probably the majority of their visits virtually through telemedicine. And that makes it accessible to folks from their home without having to travel and being in privacy and confidentiality. So that was one of the more exciting pieces that we found along this process and identifying members of other.
Thank you. That's really what I was wanting to know is the accessibility. So thank you.
Thank you, Alder. Any additional questions for staff on item 14? Not. Thank you, Chief. Item 14 has been moved and seconded. is there discussion? Seeing no discussion, is there any objection to recording a unanimous vote in favor of item 14? Seeing no objection, we'll record that vote. And that will take us to our closed session item. So I will notice that when the Finance Committee considers the following matter, that is item 21 or Legistar 91942, a discussion regarding negotiating guidance for possible acquisition of property at 1010 North Street, it may go into closed session pursuant to section 19.85 sub 1 sub E of the Wisconsin statutes, which reads as follows. Deliberating or negotiating the purchase of public properties, the investing of public funds, or conducting other specified public business whenever competitive or bargaining reasons require a closed session. If the Finance Committee does go into closed session, notice is hereby given pursuant to section 19.85 sub 2 of the Wisconsin statutes that it may reconvene in open session without waiting 12 hours as specified in the statute. President Bitterver, a motion to go into closed session, please.
Move to go into closed session.
Second.
Is there a second? Thank you. Moved and seconded to go into closed session. This is a roll call vote. So all those in favor, aye. Those opposed, no. As your name is called, and I will ask Director Schmidtke to please call the roll.
Council President Bitterver.
Aye.
Alder Revere.
Aye.
Alder Govindarajan.
Aye.
Alder Madison.
Here.
All right, so we are coming out of closed session on item 21, which is Legistar 91942, discussion regarding negotiating guidance for possible acquisition of property at 1010 North Street. And the report out of closed session is that the Finance Committee discussed the possibility and instructed staff on a negotiating stance. And that is the last item on our agenda today. So I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
Moved and seconded to adjourn. Is there any objection to recording unanimous vote in favor of adjournment? Seeing no objection, we stand adjourned. Thank you all. Have a good evening.